Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. What a blessing it is to be here and worship the Lord. So Marla and I have been discussing lately, and as has been done, I guess, the past couple years since Joel and Marla became elders, is discuss the work here at Hillview. We've had a theme each year, I believe. Thankfulness. Being thankful was the first year, if I'm recalling correctly. I'm going off memory. Thankfulness. And then last year, being a good steward, and we have a new theme for this year. So end of the year coming up, a few more days in 2019. So we're going to reflect a little bit on 2019, what has been accomplished, what we've done, and then look forward to 2020 and some of the goals we have discussed and have set for us. So if you recall, back in the beginning of 2019, Joel and Marlon discussed with us being good stewards. And specifically, these are a couple of the verses they had for us to look at. As each one has received a special gift, employ it, serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, 1 Peter 4:10. So, some things they wanted us to focus on this last year. One thing was teaching others, and the other was serving one another. Now I think we've made some strides in regard to that. In regard to teaching one another, they had us talk to others about the Lord, whatever that meant, inviting folks to services, inviting them to study the Bible. And we had a chart in the back, and it's still back there, if you recall, and some of you have marked on there. And I looked just now to try to remember how many have made a mark to show that they have talked to someone. Didn't have to do that. They asked that we would volunteer to do that, and some have, and I know some have not, and that's fine as well. But in 2019, those that are noted that have asked people to come to services, 105 folks have been invited, 105. That's pretty impressive. And I don't know how many came because of that. And we want results. But that's not the main goal. The main goal is to invite folks, and we have done that. And I appreciate your work that you did in regard to that. So 105 folks were invited to services. 50 were invited and asked to study the Bible. And again, how many did, I don't know. And those are just the marks made. I know, as I said, there's others here that invited folks to services and have invited folks to study the Bible and may not have put a mark, and that's 100% okay. So what we wanted to do this past year is talk to others about Christ. And in Mark 16 and 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Now again, I think we've done that this past year. And there's the note up there. Look at the board in the back and just put a mark up. These are the goals that they set for us at the beginning of the year. And again, the goal was to try to save souls, help the kingdom grow, and is an encouragement to us as well. We would be encouraged, and they would be encouraged. And then to serve one another was our other goal. And the passage for that is Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And what they asked us to do this year in regard to that is spend time with one another, and we have done some of those activities. I know of personally events have gone on. I'm sure there's a lot of others spending time with one another that I don't know about, and that's fine as well. And to share our gifts, whatever those might be, with one another. So I think we made some strides in regard to that. Now, we're ending this theme for the year, serving one another and being a good steward. Just because we're ending the year doesn't mean you stop doing this, right? Don't stop inviting people. Don't stop asking people to study the Bible. Don't stop serving one another. Let's continue that as we go forward through the year. So we all did a fantastic job. Could we have done more? Personally, could I have done more? I'll answer the question, yes. I could have invited more people. I invited some folks. Could I have invited more? Absolutely, I could have done more. So let's strive to do better. Let's strive to continue to grow in regard to this, inviting others to services, serving one another. And I appreciate personally all the efforts that have been put forth, and I know Marlon does as well. We encourage you to keep doing that. So that's 2019 in summary. 2020, we have a new theme. And the theme we've chosen this year, Mom and I discussed this, and it was hope. And why do we choose hope, or our hope, as the scripture says, our hope? Why do we choose hope? In our discussions with folks, Marlon and I have been meeting with members here. Some of you have met with us. We've been calling our 6-month checkups every 6 months, try to get with everyone and just see how their lives are going. What can we do to help? Areas that you may need help in, how can we assist in that, any of those things. And in those discussions, we've found, as you probably would not be surprised, there are people that have difficulties. I think if I said, raise your hand if you have a difficulty in your life, I think every hand would go up. They are different. They vary. Some are doing well dealing with them. Some of them are having difficulties they're having difficulty dealing with. And that's understandable. That's just basically how life works. So Marlon and I discussed this, and what can we do to help people deal with these difficulties that they're having? And what we came upon is hope. And I think as we go through this morning briefly, hope is what sustained us. We've talked with people, and there's folks here and elsewhere that have difficulties, and you might ask them, how can you even deal with what you're dealing with? That's nothing like I've had to deal with. And the answer that comes back basically is their faith and trust in God and the hope they have of heaven. That's how they deal with the tremendous difficulties they have in their lives. And I think you, if you don't have personal difficulties, you've seen that in others. They deal with their difficulties through this hope of heaven, this hope that's set before them, and the scriptures say as much. So if you look back there in Hebrews chapter 6, look at verse 19 specifically, where Jared just read, Hebrews 6, 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. So we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, this hope of salvation, this hope of heaven. That's how we endure. That's how we'll see Paul endured. That's how apostles, brethren in the past, that's how they endure. It's how our brethren that I know personally have difficulties today. They deal with these difficulties because of the hope that is set before them. That's what we're going to look at today, and that's going to be our theme for this year, having this before us. So I don't expect you to remember this. Some of you may. So back in, I didn't know when it was, October of 2018, so over a year ago, I preached a lesson on hope. I guess Lee was out of town. You weren't here. I don't think you don't remember it. He might have been here and forgotten. I don't know. But I preached a lesson on hope. And at that time, I knew of some people in the congregation that were having difficulties. And I'd been thinking about that. Ina and Miss Linda both suffering with cancer at the time. Things like that, difficulties, and it was on my mind. So I preached a lesson on hope. So you might remember some of this. Most of these are the slides from that. I made some changes. And don't worry, it's not as long as it was last time. So what is hope? A feeling or expectation, the desire of certain things to happen, a feeling of trust, a favorable expectation with trust and confidence, desire and expectation. Thayer defines as joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. And this part you might remember is, I thought this was interesting, in Spanish, the word, my wife speaking Spanish, I hear these things from time to time. If you know a lady named Hope in Spanish, her name will be Esperanza, or Esperanza, if you want to pronounce it correctly. And the root for that is esperar, and it means to expect in the Spanish language. So the idea of this hope is a desire, but then an expectation. And that's how we recognize heaven. It's a desire, but there's an expectation. It is there. It is true. God has said as much, and that's what we read just a minute ago in Hebrews chapter 6. So this hope is what we're going to think about this year. As you see on the slide there, we'll turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's read this. 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So some things you see in that passage about our hope, it is confirmed through Jesus' resurrection. You want some confirmation of something, there's a good confirmation. It's confirmed, it's incorruptible, can't be corrupted, tarnished in any way. It's a great hope. It's everlasting, reserved for you, it says, reserved for us. We have a hope. You'd like to have a reservation at a place, right? You go to a restaurant, have a reservation. This hope is reserved for us. It's ours. We can have an expectation of it. And it's kept by the power of God. You want to keep something, put it in a safe, right? No, this is kept by the power of God. That's amazing to think about. This hope is kept by the power of God. It is eternal salvation in heaven with God. That's the hope that we have set before us. That's the hope we want to think about and study on this year, as we try to get encouragement in the difficulties and the challenges that we have. Our hope, if you look over to Ephesians chapter 4, there's a bunch of ones mentioned there, and hope is one of those ones. Mentioned one hope, one faith, all of that listed. And if you recall, this is the same slide I had previously. If you have one of something, it often indicates value. It's not always the case, but Often, if there's one of something, it's very, very valuable. So I gave some examples up there. One, and I think it's ironic, the name of the Hope Diamond. It's called the Hope Diamond. There's one of those. Very valuable. It's valuable because it's a diamond, but it's also because it's the Hope Diamond. It's one of them. Very, very valuable, and I can't recall the value. Millions of dollars. Mona Lisa painting. I don't think that's the best painting in the world. I've seen a lot better paintings than the Mona Lisa. But there's one, very famous. What's it worth? Millions. There's one of them. So singularity, oneness, I think shows preciousness or value. And the same was with our hope. Now, it's not a earthly value that our hope is. It's a spiritual value. It's precious. It's precious to us. There's one. There's no other hope. You ask people in the world, they'll say there's hopes, all kinds of hope. There's a hope of the Islam religion, the Buddhist religion, all that, right? No, there's one. There's only one. There is no other. That makes it very valuable. And that's the hope we want to concentrate on this year, this one hope in Ephesians. And it does not disappoint. You ever been disappointed in life? Things disappoint us. This hope does not disappoint. It's confirmed by God's love. There we see in Romans chapter 5. And it's shown by Jesus' sacrifice. His hope is shown by Jesus' sacrifice. And back again in Romans chapter 5. So you want confirmation of something. You want something that doesn't disappoint. What else could you be more confirmed by than God's love? It's indescribable, God's love. We talk about it, but fully, I think, comprehending how much love he has for us and was prayed about today, how much love God has for us is incomprehensible, and it confirms our hope. And then you want further confirmation, sacrifice, somebody dying for you. This confirms this hope that we have before us there in Romans chapter 5. This is a part of the presentation you might remember, part of the sermon you might remember. So we just read, our hope is an anchor for the soul. It anchors our soul. And I talked about it last time about an anchor, 619. It's steadfast, holds, it's sure. And I showed you this picture, and you might remember this, right? And I got to throw this up because it's an anchor from Kentucky, so I'm going to show you. So this is at Columbus Belmont State Park in extreme western Kentucky, right on the Ohio River. That anchor, using the Civil War, it's a long story, I won't give you the whole deal, but it's an anchor. So when I say it's an anchor for the soul, think of a big anchor, bigger than that. That's the only physical representation I could think of locally. It's an anchor. You can go see this and get your picture made by it. That's the anchor that the hope is that we have. It anchors the soul. It's steadfast and sure. So I thought I'd throw a new picture up there. Pictures help us remember things. That's the biggest anchor I could find online. So there's an anchor. That other one weighed 3 tons, by the way. So what's this one weigh? I have no idea. Lots and lots. So when I tell you to think of hope this year as an anchor for the soul, keeps us steadfast, keeps us sure, keeps us on this journey to heaven. Think of this anchor. So, hope anchors our soul. That's what it does. And as I said, if you talk to people here that have had difficulties, how do they get through that? And stuff that I couldn't comprehend. How do they get through that? It's because they have this anchor for the soul, this hope set before them. That's what they reflect on. It's steadfast. It's sure. Also, like in this passage Jared read for us, it's confirmed by God's word and his promise. So look at verse 17 there. That's an interesting verse. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is possible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge, lay hold of the hope that is set before us. So somebody can correct me. What I think is it's talking about there, what are these two immutable things? I pointed this out last time. Two immutable things. So if God tells you something, is it true? As God says it's going to happen, it's true? Yeah, it was confirmed by Abraham. He promised Abraham something, and it was true, and it came true, right? And we could look all through Scripture. God makes a promise. If you do this, you're going to be punished. It comes true. If you do this, you'll be rewarded. It comes true. Promised Abraham. He makes all these promises, and they are true. God just saying something makes it true. He can't lie. Cannot lie. So it's true that we have this hope. But God goes a second step further. He says, I'm going to make an oath to you. So it's true just by him saying it. The second thing, I think, here, this immutable thing, this unchangeable thing, is he makes an oath. So I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to make an oath. I'm going to promise on top of that. It's like we would say something, and hopefully we speak true, but we promise something. We want it to be doubly true, and God did that. So this hope is sure, could not be more sure. It's an anchor for the soul. And what does this hope do for us? As I've said, we've seen it in folks here, and hope if you have difficulties, you can rely on this as well, that this hope will help you to persevere. So what does persevere mean? As you see there, continuing a course of action even in the face of difficulty. So we have folks here, and I'm sure you know who you are, and know folks like this yourself that have difficulties, and hope helps us to persevere in the face of difficulty. It provides strength even in difficult times. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Paul speaking here to the Romans. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which is to be or shall be revealed in us. Paul talking about this suffering that he's enduring. And did Paul endure some suffering? We can list them out, things he endured. Great suffering. How did he get through that? We might ask that. How does Paul keep preaching with all the stuff he endured? Because he had this hope, this consolation that he's looking forward to. He knew there was a hope of heaven. He understood that he had this hope, and that's how he was able to persevere. And look at verse 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, I think that's Paul talking about himself, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So he eagerly waited for it. That's what allowed him to persevere. He knows there's a hope ahead of him. I've got some difficulty. I'm in the sea being washed around. Am I going to live? How can I get through this? I've got a hope of heaven. He could persevere because of that. And then verse 25, if you look there. But if we hope for what we not see, let's try it again. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So Paul waited, and he's encouraging us to do the same. Waiting for this hope. It allows us to persevere. So if you have that question in your life, I have that in my life. How can I persevere in the face of this challenge or trial? It's keeping this hope that we have set before us. So in review here, what about our hope? There's only one. Ephesians 6 says as much. There's one hope. It's very valuable. It's precious. We have this one hope of heaven. So we need to stay on that right track, not get distracted, but look towards and long for this hope of heaven. It does not disappoint. There are things in this life that disappoint us. We can get disappointed by many things. But this hope that's before us does not disappoint us. It's confirmed by God's word, by his scripture, but by also what he says and by his promise. He says we have this hope and it's confirmed. It could not be more sure. Confirmed it with sending his own son, giving his own son to die for us. It's an anchor for the soul. So think of that anchor this year as you think about difficulties you might have. Think of that anchor. We have this hope that's even bigger than that big anchor I showed you. We have this hope, this anchor for our soul. And where is it? It's laid up in heaven for us. It's true. It's real. And keep that ever before us. And this will allow us to persevere in any difficulties you might have this year. Marla.
Continuing on with some of those same thoughts. When we talk about hope, I'm reminded of King David. Shannon has spent the last quarter talking about David, and I kept thinking about that and thought about this passage. Now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. David wrote this psalm. I think if anyone ever had confidence in God, David surely did. Many times in many difficult situations, many circumstances that David found himself in, we find him praying to God for help. Have you ever wondered, how did David sleep at night? Sometimes I hear people talk about not being able to sleep, and it may be just from physical things. Sometimes I guess when you get older, it's harder to go to sleep. When you're younger, sometimes when something's bothering you, it's weighing heavily on you, decisions you have to make, particular problems, whatever it may be, sleep sometimes escapes us. Now think about David. David knew where to go for his help. My hope is in you. One of the things that Shannon's already mentioned, but really stands out from the time that when Mr. Plunkett and I met with you in your homes, and several have talked about in the six-month checkup that Shannon and I have been doing with you so far. The fact is, there's a lot of hurting people. Many times it's not so obvious. You gotta stop and ask the question, what do you do when love isn't enough? Love for your child, love for your spouse, love for some other family member. What do you do when time doesn't do what it's supposed to do and heal everything? When you think about the losses that you may have incurred, obviously we're talking about people. You may have lost loved ones. You may be concerned about those that you care for. May not be able to care for themselves longer term. You're worried, you're concerned. You're hurting for your children. Your children may be hurting for you. Do they see you aging? A few days ago, Lee sent out a message that he had read from Nancy Reeves. That's Brownie's wife, somebody that we support here. And that message talked about an older man who had suffered loss. He said this, "Yes, grief is a sign someone was dearly loved and missed, but somehow, some way, we go on. For others, we love, and because God wants us to remember the hope of heaven and live so that we can go there. That is our constant goal." You have to appreciate somebody that has that attitude. I have to ask you, what friends are you spending your time with? Are you spending time with worry? Could it be anxiousness? Maybe it's your friend you call grief or even sorrow. David could have spent a lot of time there. But in David's lesson is the lesson on hope. What did David do? He relied on God's power. The first thing that hope in God means is that we trust in his power and his ability. As creator, God can do anything that needs to be done, so there's not much we can do from worrying about it. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, it says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church of Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Do you limit God's power? Another thing that David would have relied on is God's wisdom. God's power is always governed by his wisdom. Of all the things he's able to do, God can be counted on to select what is best for us, do what is best for us. God's very different from us. Even when we can do things, we don't always choose the right thing. Even when we can make a choice, then we lament over, is this the right choice? Is this the right thing? How do I know? What do I do? But with God, there is no puzzle too hard to solve. I'm reminded of the memory verses that we did last year. "My thoughts are not your thoughts, or my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Find that in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Another thing that David would have relied on is God's goodness. God's power is also governed by his goodness. He wants good things for us. He hears our prayers. He has mercy and compassion. We tend to think of wisdom as some abstract thing, I think. Some abstract quality, but God's wisdom is always a loving wisdom. He's wanting to do what's best for us. He's not going to do anything unwise. I believe in God not because my parents told me that I should, although that did help me. Not because of the church that I grew up in, but because I've experienced his goodness and mercy. God is good. I've also seen that fear tends to corrode our confidence in God and in his goodness. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" All of these are things that David relied on. The problem when we are resting our hope in God is that we tend to do it only when things look pretty good, when things may look hopeful anyway. We only hope in God when it seems likely that things are going to turn out the way we want them to. That kind of hope requires very little faith. Real hope is the kind that rests in God's power, wisdom, and goodness, even when from our vantage point we see no way out. We see no possible good outcome with the problems that we're facing. Hope is not human optimism. It's a trust in God who has proven his trustworthiness. Given our focus on hope this year, there's some things that we would like to focus on in 2020. Now, there's some things we plan to continue to do, just to talk about those for just a second. The prayer service, just to remind you of what we do every fifth quarter, or every fifth Sunday, once a quarter. We have a Sunday night prayer service, and I can't tell you how encouraged I've been by the way that men participate in that. We ask the various ones to prepare it, and boy, they do a fabulous job. We're thankful for that. We're going to continue with our three weekend meetings. We encourage you to look in the bulletin. Those dates are there as you make plans for your year coming up. Any travel plans that you might have, vacations, whatever, please keep those in mind and be looking at those. We'll continue our singing night on the first Sunday night. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. We also plan to have our guest speakers, those that we support as we can, have them in, just so you can develop relationships with them more than just sending letters and seeing what they have to say. We'll also be setting the date for our Vacation Bible School very soon for this summer. And then we also will continue some outside studies. Some of you may or may not know the extent that that's happening. In 2019, we asked Lee to do a few more of those outside studies. He's always been willing to do that, but we've had a study at Starbucks for over a year now, I guess, and we've been encouraged by that. It's a small group. There's another small group that meets at Books a Million, trying to get that public study going, just sitting down, reading Scripture, and talking about God. There's a study at Vanderbilt, that's a university that Lee is starting with some of the students there, and he's planning another study for Trevecca. The logistics on that one is being set up now, so after the first of the year, Lord willing, all of that will be going on. If you've never done those type of things, never prepared for those take a lot of time, a lot of effort, not only the driving back and forth, but the logistics and making sure people are going to be there, and it's quite an effort, but we're encouraged by that. And all those are things that were occurring before to some degree. We've tried to enhance it for 2019. And certainly want to continue that into the new year. But for the new year, we're also planning to have a focus on the Lord's Supper. Not that we haven't been, let me make sure that's clear, but once a quarter, we plan to spend the Sunday morning service, similar to that, like we do a prayer service, have different men talk about the Lord's Supper and what it means. And again, it's not that we've been doing it wrong. And I did want to comment that Shannon and I greatly appreciate the way that the men here take it so seriously, spend time talking about it, and we want to continue that focus. I can recall when I was a child, and while the congregation that I grew up in was a great place to be, it's also, I think, the time spent on the Lord's Supper could have been done a little differently and done better. It wasn't just something just checking off the list and going through things, but it was, you know, spending time thinking about it, what we're doing, why we're here, and partaking of the Lord's Supper. We also plan to do a little bit more with the singing night. When I talk about focus songs, we will spend some of those services singing about hope. We also always like to listen to some suggestions that you may have. One of the members suggested that we do talk to some of the people and get what their favorite song is and why it's their favorite song. Talk about that as we have various men lead those songs. We will obviously continue on the way that we have been, where the song leaders pick songs and work on new songs, that sort of thing. But we do want to focus some of those singing nights this year. Another thing that we are planning to do is about prayer groups. Let me be very specific. Let me slow down and what this means. This is another suggestion that we got from one of the members that came out of some work that we've been doing with various people. And this request said, I would like to have somebody to be paired up with somebody that I can spend this year in 2020 just talking to and praying with. So what we plan to do is to look for volunteers, people that want to do that. I'm going to suggest that you get a little bit out of your comfort zone. Maybe you are older and you may be paired with somebody younger, or somebody younger with somebody older, whatever it may be. It depends on who signs up. I'll be taking those names. I'll send out an email so that if you have email, otherwise I'll talk to you, those that don't have email, if you want to participate. And what the idea would be is to connect the two, at least two people, to talk together, whether it's you decide, if it's weekly, if it's monthly, if it's daily, whatever fits for you and your person you're going to be paired with, to talk about spiritual things. And what do you want me to pray for? What do you want them to pray for on your behalf? And again, the goal here is to connect you with someone at a greater level, to develop a bond and a friendship that you may not otherwise. It makes it very stronger than the average one. To help each other through life's ups and downs, because that's just reality. So we want to encourage you to do that, and Lord willing, we'll start that after the first of the year. Another thing is we want to encourage people to spend time together outside the assembly. This is a little bit on a smaller scale, but you know, where everyone here is going to be invited to participate in one form or another. And I know that some people are comfortable having people in their home. Some people are not. Maybe it's the time of your life that that's not so easy, or you're not so comfortable with that. And that is perfectly fine. But we want to encourage you, if you are invited, please go. Please be a part. Please do more than just simply come and be here in this building. Be a part of the group. Participate. Encourage each other. And that's something we can do. And then finally, we have asked Lee to talk about some specific sermons about hope and to encourage the things that we are doing here. So we want to simply say thank you for the work that you did in 2019. We look forward to 2020 and what we can do there. We've asked Lee to come up and extend an invitation for us this morning, and then after that, our service will be concluded.
One of those days that makes me smile. Glad to be together and appreciate Shannon and Marlon leading us and having some vision for what they hope for us, what they want for us as we think about the coming year. So I look forward to presenting some lessons. There's a lot of texts that talk about hope, and so a good bit of material, and I think that'll be good for us to study together, and I look forward to doing that at least once a month. And there may be even opportunities to do more than just that. So we have a lot to be thankful for today, and I'm thankful for their leading us and leading us thinking about, particularly about hope. I want to read some passages together with you in 1 Corinthians 15. I want to begin in verse 54, and we'll read through verse 58. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, because of the victory, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's a football game coming up Thursday night. I have a little interest in. Some of you do too. IU is going to play Tennessee in the Gator Bowl. And I can tell you that I hope Indiana wins. Do I believe they will win? Not sure how strong my faith is. Do I know they will? Absolutely not. And I have some of you, Caleb and others, who won't mind telling me that I should not get my hopes up. The adversaries are always trying to weaken my faith. And I will not be surprised if they don't win. I have a lack of faith. I have a lack of confidence based on some evidences that it just may not happen. God has assured us of victory over death. Something we can be assured of. We talk about hope this year. We absolutely cannot separate it from the word faith. We have faith, a belief, a hope that's based on what God has done for us. What's Hebrews 11:1 say? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Substance. What is that word? What does that mean? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's a setting under. You can see the word sub and stance and to stand and have something under you to stand on. It's a support, Strong says. It means an assurance and a confidence. And that came out in some of the material that Shannon shared with us in Marlin. It is an expectation, assurance. And so based on what God has done for me, I can be assured of this victory. I can be confident that there's a victory waiting for you and for me in Christ. That I have a basis for my faith. I have a basis for my hope. It's not... There's evidences upon which I can say assuredly, based on what God has done for me, that I am going to win. There is victory waiting. We can know His commands. God has not left us in the dark. He has expressed to us clearly in Scripture what it is that He expects of us. We can obey Him. That gives us even more assurance. Not in ourselves, not a boasting of our own goodness and our own works, but in His promises, and those promises come conditionally. That those who trust and obey Him have this hope of victory. So my question today is, do you have the hope? And we'll be talking about it all year. Do you have hope? As Marlon said, and I can already, thinking about lessons down the road, and there are a lot of things I can say to you, I hope you get better. I hope your children come around and see the truth when they're not following the Lord. We say hope in a lot of ways. There's only one way to say this, and that one hope, with absolute assurance, and that is the promise of heaven. That's the only hope I can sometimes even give to folks. I can try to build them up and encourage them, but at the end of the day, I may have to say to you, I don't know where the hell it's going to turn out. I don't know if you're going to get well or not. But I do know one thing. If you're a Christian, you're going to go to heaven. If you're a Christian, death is not the end. And this passage in 1 Corinthians 15, just kind of look at it and say, ha ha, death, you're not going to win. Where is that sting? Where is that? It's not there anymore. God's taken that away in Jesus Christ. I want you today, leave here being assured of victory. I want you to be a Christian. I want you to know that you're going to win by the grace of God. Can we know that? Absolutely. If you put your trust in Jesus and you do His will, I will tell you that the Bible teaches you can be sure of this one hope that rises above all the rest. We sing a song to encourage you. If you're not a Christian, please come to the Lord. May we help you as we stand.